Book of 2 Samuel is an interesting book, and chapter 23 is very interesting. The chapter starts off with some of the very last words of King David. And then from down about verse number 8 to verse 39, it gives us David's mighty men. There were 37 in all, as we find in verse 39. And it gives some of the examples of what these men did because of their love for God, their love for country, and their love for their king. These men were totally aligned and were very loyal to King David. In many regards, was more loyal to him than he was to them at times. And we find that these men were, in our day and sight, they were greater than airborne rangers. These were, this would have been SEAL Team 37 right here. This crowd right here, you didn't want to mess with. They were the elite of the elite. And maybe in the history of man, no more fierce warriors than these men right here in the Bible. And I just want to read a portion out of this chapter and give you the thought that God has given to me. In 2 Samuel 23, we'll begin our reading, verse 13. It says, "And three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in harvest time unto the cave of Adullam, and the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim, and David was then in an hold. And the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men brake through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men." Let's pray. Our Father, we bless you and praise you that you are our joy, you are our hope, and you are our anchor. Lord, I can't imagine living in this day and age that we live in without knowing God. All the heartache and all the darkness and all the despair in this world. And I'm glad that, Father, we have used the anchor of our soul, who's able to provide a song in due season, a peace that passeth all understanding, that can give us joy in the most of difficult times. God, we're thankful that you're a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Lord, we're certainly thrilled to be able to come tonight to the house of God. Thank you for the good singing. Thank you for the good prayer time, the good fellowship time. But Father, now it's preaching time. Lord, I pray you'd use this unworthy vessel. And I pray you'd encourage your people. Many of them have worked hard this week, hard this day. Many have faced battles and faced adversity. God, they need some good news from the glory world. God, I pray you'd help them. You'd encourage them. You'd edify them. God, you'd strengthen them. Lord, you'd help them to set their face toward heaven like a flint, ready to face another day, ready to face another mile, ready, Lord, to face another battle because of who propels them from the inside. Father, I pray you do something tremendous. I pray, as Brother Clint already prayed tonight, if there's anybody lost amongst us tonight, I pray tonight we'd see them get born again. Now, Father, bless as only you can. Help each and every one of your children get glory to your glorious name. We'll bless you for it's in the holy and wonderful and majestic name of the Lord Jesus we ask these things. Amen. Amen. I want you to notice, as a way of introduction, just a couple things. I want you to notice, first of all, the dire situation. Here's King David. Here's God's anointed. Here's the man of God. And he's in a cave in Adullam. The Philistines have a garrison in Bethlehem. It looks like in David's latter years, wouldn't you think he'd be in the palace? And wouldn't you think everything would be easy? But can I say, it's dire. He's in a cave. It's dire. His homeland's under siege. It's dire. It doesn't look good. It doesn't look like the sun's going to shine again. Friend, you look around this world. We live in dire days. Our country's a divided land tonight. We don't have harmony in America. It's more than just conservative and liberal. There's a race problems in America. There's political problems in America. There's financial problems in America. There are states where insurance companies are leaving their states. There's insurance problems in America. There's a terrible hurricane hitting Texas even now in America. There's nothing but tragedy, nothing but gloom, nothing but darkness. Then you get to our churches, and churches are empty, and churches don't have a touch of God anymore, and churches don't have the presence of power of God working anymore. Been over 100 years since real revival hit America. I'm telling you, it's dire. It's bleak. It's looking gloomy. What a terrible situation to be in. Listen, we're living in a day and age where people have lost their minds. The Bible says in the last days, perilous times shall come. And it lists a whole bunch of things that would happen. They are happening. And it says they'd call that which is evil good and that which is good evil. That's happening. You stand for this Bible and the things that are right, and they look at you like you are the enemy. I'm here to tell you, I'm so sick and tired of all the left and the liberals and the absolute wicked and ungodly are standing for in this country. It seems like they get a free pass. You stand up and say you believe the Bible, they want to throw you in jail. I mean, we're living in dire times. Absolutely, they've lost their minds. Can I say, in America, one of the things that our wonderful Constitution affords us in the Bill of Rights is the freedom of speech. We are not like in dictatorships where if you say something against the government, they'll come and behead you. We don't live in those lands. And part of being in a free speech society is we have the right to lawfully assemble and protest. Yes, amen. We do. Listen, I remember, I know some of you don't. I remember the Vietnam War, and that hippie crowd marched in protest of the Vietnam War. I don't know why we were there. It was a political war. It was never intended to be a war that we were to win. It was all about getting more money spent in America. And we sent our soldier boys over there. Many times we told them not to fire on the enemy, and they'd watch the enemy come in. I don't know why we went through all of that, but still, those were our soldier boys. We should have stood with them. It'd been all right to say something against the crowd that put them there. When our soldier boys came back, they should have been treated like heroes. They were treated like criminals. But our society and our Constitution affords those people to protest. But today, if you have an assembly and protest, if the liberals don't like it, they'll beat you up. And the liberal judges say, well, they have a right to beat you up. In America today, we think that by destroying things, it'll erase things. Amen. You can destroy every monument you want. But can I say, that doesn't erase the history of this country. You can burn every church down. That doesn't erase the history of the gospel and what God's done in this country. But we live in a day and age where this thing's gone crazy. You have a conservative speaker on a college campus, they'll burn the campus down and say, well, they was justified in doing that. But you let somebody say something about a liberal and they'll throw them in jail. What happened with the former president was an absolute travesty with that sheriff down there in Arizona, 85-year-old man that stood for the laws of this land. He served in the military 20 years, served in the DEA, became the sheriff, and when he got in trouble for is he arrested illegal immigrants in this land, and Obama said, let them go, catch them and release them. He said, no, they're criminals. I'm locking them up. And they're not getting loose till they get
Mexico, and in the final hours of his presidency, he had them arrest that man, didn't give him a right to a jury trial, had a judge convict him, was about ready to sentence that man, who's a hero of our country, to deserve jail, and now they're giving our president fits because he pardoned him. Obama pardoned terrorists, Obama pardoned drug dealers, Obama pardoned murderers, not a thing was said about it. I'm telling you, we live in dire situation in this country. Can I say black lives matter? So do red lives. So do white lives. So do yellow lives. Hey, Jesus died for them all, my dear friends. President had to sign an executive order yesterday giving our police the type of equipment they need to be able to handle these mobs and these terrorists that are shooting and killing police officers all across this land. And the liberals are having a fit. Why should we give the police military type equipment? Because they're facing a bunch of terrorists, that's why. We live in a dire situation. I could go on for hours, but I'm not going to. We see the dire situation. Notice, if you will, the desire of God's anointed. Look what David said there in verse number 15. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. Now, I done told you, David's getting up in years. David's best days are behind him. He knows his life is shortened. He's in a cave. The land is in a mess. Philistines everywhere. And David there, isn't amazing. He didn't say, oh, that I could sleep in the bed in the palace again. He didn't say that. He didn't say, oh, that I could get the fastest chariot in the land and get out of here. He didn't say that. His one desire, what he pined for and what he longed for, he's thinking back now to his younger days. He said, oh, that I could have a drink from the wells, the water of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. I mean, in all that he's facing, a dire situation, Brother Phil, get a hold of this. I mean, it's a dire situation. He's not saying, boy, I wish I could get out of this cave. No, he didn't say, oh, I wish I had more soldiers. He didn't say, oh, I wish this God would smote all the Philistines with blindness like he did back in Hezekiah's or Elijah's days. He didn't say all those things.
No, sir.
He says, oh, I could get a drink from the waters of the well of Bethlehem. I got thinking about that. You know what he's saying, Brother Lawrence? He's saying, I'd like to have some water from my youth. Anytime you find water in the Bible, it's a picture of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And he's thinking, I want some water in my youth. I got to thinking about back when I got saved in 1974. Brother Bob, when it was church time, folks come to church, they wasn't sitting out in the vestibule, out in the pews, checking their phones and checking their schedules. They wasn't talking about the ball game stores. I can remember service after service, we'd come through the doors. There were people gathered around the piano, had the old songbooks out. Somebody a playing and folks just singing songs. More people come in, they'd join them. You'd walk in and folks were singing. You'd see folks are shouting. I've seen folks get the altar. I'm talking about long before the church service ever started. God had already showed up and something got started. Folks were squalling in the altar. About that time, my granddaddy grabbed his Bible, go to the pulpit. We hadn't had the first congregational yet. Nobody had opened in prayer. Nobody took up an offering. He'd say, open the Word of God. He get to preaching. Folks get born again. A revival fall. Oh, that I could get some water by youth. Oh, that I could see the Holy Ghost fall like he did back then. Oh, that I could see God show up before the service. Oh, that God's people would come and get a drink of that kind of water from my youth. Hey, I can remember revival meetings. They'd preach in the morning, preach at night. They didn't schedule them Sunday through Wednesday. They said we're going to meeting, and they'd preach, baptize all day on Saturday, and God would blow through there.
church once again. Pastors all over this country having nervous breakdowns, trying to pump and prime up their people just to come to church. What we need is a little drink from the waters of the well of our youth. Oh, if they could just get a drink of that water, oh, that would solve all the issues. And I remember men of God get up, they didn't have alliterated outlines, didn't have microphones, they had an old Bible, and they get up, get to preaching, God fall in that place, hey, people get to shouting, people get to squalling, people get to coming in the altar, and God would show up and change people's lives. I remember one time we was in a revival meeting. I was a young man, I was probably about 14, and there was a family visit at revival meeting, and they came from the big Baptist church in the next town over, and they come visit revival meeting. They liked it so good, they came back the next night, and they came back the next night. And I remember they came, and they had a boy. He was probably about Andrew's age. Had a boy. And this boy was in a body cast from his shoulders to his feet. And they had to carry him in. He's laid prostrate there and just set him in the floor. They brought that boy in. And that mama told the story that the doctor said his bone structure would never heal properly. And that boy'd never walk. And that boy'd never get to a position where he'd be able to help himself or fend for himself. And that mama told that story, and she brought that boy up, and the men of God got around that boy, got to praying. And I'm here to tell you, just a couple months later, that boy come walking in the church. Hey, that boy went on to live a full life. Last time I seen him, he's taller than me. That we could get some water from our youth. Where the doctor says it's not possible, but the great physician walks in the room, and he takes care of the problem. He wanted some water from his youth. I thought about this. Notice the devotion of a few. Now, it didn't take the whole crowd. We don't know how many men was with David. We know he had 37 mighty men. By this time, there wasn't 37 of them because Uriah's already gone. And I don't know how many others that he had beside his mighty men. We find that three. Said the king wants some water from Bethlehem. The king's going to get some water from Bethlehem. Amen. You say, what'd they do? They grabbed their swords and they went to slay them Philistines all the way to Bethlehem. They got some water. They said, you think this is it? Yeah, get a big dose. And they got the big bucket of water, and they slew Philistines all the way home. Putting their lives in peril, they was slaying Philistines. I'm talking about hand-to-hand combat. They was slaying them, chopping heads off, chopping arms off, chopping legs off. And all the while, in the midst of that, they were careful not to spill the water. And they got all the way back to David, and they brought him the water. Hey, they were devoted. They said, that's what the man of God desires. That's what we're going to have. We're going to have water from Bethlehem in the morning. And they went and they got the water. I want to God, we don't need the whole crowd tonight. Just a few. Go get the water. Just go get the water. Hey, we need the water. Hey, go get the water. He said, preacher, where's the water? He told that woman at the well, one drink, there'll be living water. Bubbling up, and you got access to it. Just go get it. Get the water. Get the water. We need the water. Now notice what David did with it. What did he do with it? He poured it out unto the Lord. He said, I'm not worthy to drink this water. These boys put their lives on the line. They put their very blood on the line to get this water. He said, I'm not worthy of it, but the Lord is. Now, I know Mr. Pharisee, Mr. Look Down Your Nose, Baptist, to say, well, that was a waste to pour it out. He didn't just pour it out. He poured it out as a drink offering unto the Lord. He said, the only one worthy of this water is the Lord.
And he poured it out and gave it to the Lord. With that in mind, I want to preach on pour it out. Just pour it out. Oh, just pour it out. Somebody go get some water. Let's just pour it out. Hey, it doesn't do any good hoarding it up. We need to pour it out. We need to pour out the water. Somebody go get it. Everybody go get it. I don't care. We just need the water. And when we get the water, let's pour it out. Pour it out unto the Lord. Can I say, first of all, pouring it out to worship. To worship. Can I say this? Water always leads to worship. You can't worship without the water, but water always leads to worship. Hey, hallelujah, we need to pour it out to worship. Hey, listen, we need to pour it out on the altars. We need to pour it out on the choir loft. We need to pour it out on the instruments. We need to pour it out on the pulpit. We need to pour it out on the pews. We need to pour it out on the songbooks. We need to pour it out in the aisles. We need to pour it out in the song sound room. We just need to pour it out and worship and give God the glory that he rightly deserves. Who do you think provided the water in the first place? You see, Bethlehem's always a picture of the house of bread. So where are we going to pour it out? We're getting water from the house of bread, and we're going to pour it out unto the Lord. Oh, we need to pour it out, friends, in worship. And I say this, we got to pour it out because of the work. Because of what it costs to have the water. You see, that water isn't easily accessible. Oh, we all have it. But you got to understand what it takes to get it. Can I say, you got to understand the price that was paid for it. Jesus Christ gave his life. He died for your sin and my sin. And then he came to where we were in our sin and showed us that we were lost. And said if we'd call on him, he'd save us. And he saved us. There was a price. Yeah, salvation was free to you, but it cost God everything. He gave his life for you. And because of the work that it took to have the water, the price that Jesus Christ left glory and went to an old rugged cross and was beaten and died in an open shame and shed his life's blood, was buried and rose again according to Scripture because of the price and the work that was done. Oh, we ought to pour it out. And I say this, need to pour it out because of the prayer that was offered. Prayer is where the power comes from. We're going to have some water. Somebody's going to have to get on their face before God. He does say, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Call unto me, I'll answer thee, show you the great mighty things that you know it's not. Somebody go get the water. Somebody call on the Lord. Hey, he'll not withhold any good thing from us. But can I say prayers work? Amen. It takes you some time on your knees before God, getting your heart right with God so you can ask God properly. There's a lot of work because the devil fights you while you're on your knees. You know what's wrong with our generation? We sit in the pews and wear out the seat of our britches, but we never wear out the knees of our britches. So it takes work. Oh, because of the work, the prayer that was offered, we'll pour it out to worship God because of the battles that were fought. Some of you fought battles just getting to church tonight. Some of you fought. Listen, if you got word today that you didn't have a job, you didn't have any insurance, would you be at church tonight? I mean, folks fought some battles. Those battles that were fought, that work that was done in order for us to be able to come and have service tonight. That's why we need to pour it out. Thought about this. The valleys that were endured. Anybody faced any valleys this week? I was on my way to Brother Greg's. I was in the will of God. I wasn't listening to any rock and roll on the way down there. I was meditating on God, praying, asking God, meeting a meeting. Didn't live any wicked sin halfway down there, chewing a piece of chewing gum because nothing keeps me awake while I'm driving like chewing gum. And all of a sudden, one of the crowns of one of my root canals came off in that chewing gum. Boy, that's a blessing. I got to stand up in front of hundreds of people and preach the next day, and I'm thinking, I ain't got a tooth. That's a blessing. Thank God for CVS in Easley, South Carolina. They had this putty stuff for crowns when they come off. It wasn't quite the right, but it was in there, huh? I had to go to the dentist yesterday. They fixed me up. Hallelujah. Thank God for dentists. I hate them, but when you need them, they're good things to have around, huh? I'm going to tell you, most of you faced some stress this week. Anybody face some stress this week? You've endured some valleys. You've endured some valleys, but you made it to the house of God. We need to pour out the water. We need some water so we can pour it out unto the Lord for all the work, all the valleys folks endured this week. Listen, I know he's the lily of the valley, and I know that's where growth happens, but there is no joy in the valleys. Are you listening? That's why Paul said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, all they that live godly shall suffer persecution. All the valleys that were endured, we need to pour out the water. We need to pour it out. And I say this for all the ridicule some faced this week. Some of you made fun of for your faith. Some of you just looked down on. Some of you tried to witness to your family or tell your family you need to be in church, and they give you a hard time over it. For all that, all the work that's been endured and done, oh, we ought to pour it out. And I say this, somebody go get the water so we can pour it out. We need to pour it out to worship. We need to pour it out because of the work. And I say this, we need to pour it out as a witness. You know why we're talking about this story? Not because David drank the water. Because he poured it out unto the Lord. Because all the labor them fellows went through to get the water. When we pour out the water, it's a witness to the lost. You know what disturbs me? Disturbed me a few weeks ago. And it disturbed me after what I heard Brother Lawrence preached on Sunday. When you know you got lost people sitting in the church. And the word of God is preached. And lost people leave lost. That disturbs me. That takes sleep away from me. You see, when that happens, the first place I look is at me. I look to make sure I had the right spirit while I was preaching. Was I preaching the right message? Lord, this is what you gave me, and I tried to be faithful, and I questioned me. I beat myself up. The bottom line, it comes down, they must make a choice. But I wonder if they'd leave lost if they saw us pouring out the water. Might be the very witness they need to see. I mean, the Word of God's being preached. The singing's been scriptural singing. We're here. What they need to see is the water being poured out. They need to see worship. They need to see what's real. Be a witness to the lost. Be the witness to the wayward. Be a witness to the doubters. There's a lot of people come to church and they got a lot of doubt in their life. Now, it's easy to stand up and say anything that's not of faith is sin. We call them a bunch of sinners. The bottom line is we face a real devil, and one of the tools he uses is doubt. It'll cause you to doubt whether or not you're right with God, cause you to doubt whether or not you're saved, cause you to doubt whether or not you should move and pour out the water. It'll cause you to doubt everything. But see, when you pour out the water, that might be the very tool that God needs to reassure somebody so they can pour out their water. Can I say this? It'll be a witness to the contemporary crowd. Listen, somebody they don't have to carry a tune in a bucket, but they get in and they sing an old good old song in here that somebody pinned down, knew God, and they sing it. This crowd come alive. But you can have the most talented people in the world, and they come in and sing one of them contemporary songs. This crowd just shut down. So there's nothing behind it. You know what that contemporary crowd needs to see? It's not in talent. It's in the water. Can I say it'll be a witness to this generation? I'm talking about things that happened 40 years ago. Crystal, your kids have no idea what I'm talking about. Brooke has no idea. We can talk about good old days all day long. She has no idea. She hasn't seen it. These children right here, this whole pew for them, have no idea. Talking about the old time ways. But Mike, we come up in it. And you know what it's like. Every week, your daddy's preaching, somebody gets saved. Somebody wasn't saved. People being in the altar begging God, am I the reason somebody didn't get saved? Now we can go weeks and months on end without seeing somebody saved. Nobody cares. See, this generation got Olivia and Daniel back here, got Andrew here, got all these children in here. This generation needs to see the water being poured out. Most of you know we moved Sydney back to college last week. It doesn't get any easier. This second year, it doesn't get any easier. This is what she told me. She told me, she says, "Dad, when I get to school," she's got a teammate that's a good Christian girl. She said, "Me and my teammate, we're going to go out and get one of those note-taker Bibles." If you don't know what that is, it's got the scripture on one page, the next page is totally blank for you to write notes. So we're going to get one of them note-taker Bibles, and every day we're going to study the devotion on the phone app from our church. We're going to study it together, and we're going to put notes in that Bible. We're going to do that every day. And then she said this, and she said, this tore me up. She said, "And if God ever blesses me to have a husband, we'll give him the Bible. If God ever blesses me to have a husband, I'm going to give him the Bible." I'm glad she's seen some water in her mama's life, some water in her daddy's life. Says, "I want to pass this on." Are you listening? This generation needs to see the water being poured out. So they can see there's something real. There's something worth having. You don't have to compromise. You don't have to quit. There is a Lord worth serving, and His name is Jesus. We need to pour out the water so this generation knows the difference of the old time way. They're not going to learn it watching what's on TV, listen to what's on the radio. They're going to sit down at the house of God when God's people get real and start pouring out the water. I thought about this. I need to pour out the water to overcome our weariness. When I was young, I've said this before, when I was young, one of the old songs, the old song book was "Press On, Weary Pilgrim, Press Along." I hated that song. Yeah. 8, 9 years old, I'm sitting back there in the pew, and that song was slow. It was slower and farther along. And there was 3 or 4 verses that took up both pages and both sides in the hymn book, and they started singing that song. And I'm here to tell you, it's like running nails on a chalkboard. I'm like, when in the world is this song ever going to be over? What can I say? After being saved 43 years, after enduring some things, I love that old song. Every now and then, I'll just pull it out and read the words. Oh, we need to press along, weary pilgrim. This is a faith way. It's a holy way. It's a narrow way. It's a straight way. But some days it's a hard way. Some days you don't know if you're going to be able to put one foot in front of the other. You just need to keep pressing on. But you get weary in this walk of faith. You face a real devil. You face your flesh. You face this world. Some days you don't know if you can go anymore. And I remind you what Isaiah 61:3 says. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. We need to learn to pour it out so we can find oil for our mourning times, so we can find beauty for our ashes, so we can find a song of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that we might be called the trees of righteousness. We've got to find the water that we can pour it out, that in those weary times we'll get a breath from the glory world that'll cause us to go another mile and to serve Him and face another day. Amen. I'll say this lastly. Somebody go get the water. We might pour it out. If we've got the water, and if you're saved, you've got the water according to John chapter number 4. Jesus, when He hung on Calvary, He said, "I thirst." But a child of God can never say that, because He said, "You'll never thirst again." Can I say, we got the water. But if we don't pour it out, it's kind of like when they was in the wilderness and they went out and they tried to get 2 days worth of manna. God said, you're going to get 1 day for a day. You're going to get 2 days the day before the Sabbath. Because if you got 2 days on Monday, you went to get it in that second day, it bred worms. It wasn't any good. Amen. And see, when we come to church, if we don't pour out the water, it's wasted. Here's our problem. Miss Crystal, we come to church and we're full of God. If we don't pour it out, God can't pour any more in. We got to pour it out and empty ourselves and go back out there where He'll fill us back up. And we come back in and we're going to pour out the water, empty ourselves, and go back out there. And when we're facing them hard times, He just comes by and bubbles up a little water. Amen. We're facing those dry times, He bubbles up a little water. And we get back to the house of God, we're full of water. And we can pour it back out so we can go back out and get filled. The reason you're facing adversity out there and you can't handle it, the reason you're going out there and things are going awry and you don't know how to handle it because you're just full of water and you don't know what to do with it. That water's been wasted. That water's stagnant. That water isn't refreshing. You got to pour it out. So He gives you fresh water, living water, sustaining water, water that'll help you face those hard times. Because when you don't pour out the water, you're wasting it. Amen. I want to tell you something. We have a dearth in this land, not for lack of water, but for lack of pouring it out unto the Lord. So I said all that to say this tonight. Some of you need to go get some water. And some of you need to pour out some water. That God can fill you with some fresh water. So you can come back and pour it out on the Lord's day. And there's no telling what God will do if we just start pouring out the water. Quit hoarding it, start pouring it, and watch what God does. Some of you need to go get some water. You might have to fight some Philistines. Philistines pictured flesh. Might have to fight your flesh to get some water. Some of you need to go fight some Philistines, get some water. Some of you might have to cut some pride and get some water. You might not have any water because you got something in your life instead of the water, and you might need to get right with God. Surrender that pride so you can get filled with some water. Some of you, you've labored in all kinds of things this week, but you have more labor with the Lord so you can come pour out some water. Some of you need to do business with God tonight. Some of you need to come thank God for how good He's been to you. All week long He's been blessing you. You haven't thanked Him once. Shame on you. Some of you just need to come pour out some water on this altar. And then you might have some to pour out in your daily walk. And you might have some to pour out the next time we come. Some of you need to get the water bubbling again. It's been a long time since you had a drink. You need to get the water bubbling again. You've got it stopped up in your life. You've let things get in the way. You need to get it bubbling again. Some of you are facing some things only God can help you with. You need to get in this altar and let God get the water flowing again. Then pour it out unto the Lord and watch and see what God does with it. Let's all stand. Brother Clint, come get a song of invitation. Some are already praying. You need to mind God. You want revival? It starts with a drink. Might start with pouring out what God's already given you. But it's time we do business with God. While these are praying, they're getting a song. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we sure do bless you. Oh, that we might have some water from the wells of Bethlehem. Oh, God, that we might have some of that water I saw in my youthful days, that we might pour it out unto the Lord for this generation. God, there's some here today don't have any idea of seeing what the power of God's really able to do. And God, that's a testimony against us that have seen it. God, help us to get the water that we might pour it out, that this crowd might see what worship is. That we might appreciate the work it takes to have it. It might be a witness that, God, we might see. Oh, God, those that are weary get some help. But, God, we don't want to waste what you've given us. Bless now in this invitation. Bless these in the altar. God, get glory. God, if there's somebody lost, I pray they come so we can show them how to be saved. God, help us to see them saved tonight. Have your will and way, Father. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.